The hour of recess has expired. The Senate is now back in session. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the House? If there are, would you please have those read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted the Conference Committee report on Senate substitute for House Bill 458 as amended, and has taken up and passed Conference Committee substitute for Senate substitute for House Bill 458. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, would you recognize the Senator from Saline for a privilege motion?
Senator from Saline, you are recognized for a privilege motion.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate receded from its position on House Bill 250.
Okay. Senator, you are moving that the Senate refuse to receive its position on House Bill 250?
I am moving that the Senate recede from its position.
Okay. You're moving the Senate recede from its position. The Senator from Saline is moving that the Senate recede from its position on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 250 and take up and pass House Committee Substitute for House Bill 250. Senator, would you like to explain?
This is the bill that exempts churches, rural churches, from having, if they serve less than 100 people 60 days a year, exempts them from the water wells problems. And so, and with the Senate version had the Senator from Stoddard's water bill on it, that has passed in another bill. And so I'm asking that the body recede from its position and then pass this bill as it came over from the House.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from Saline.
Senator, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. If we recede, will it just be the underlying bill only, just relating to wells?
It'll be the House Committee substitute for House Bill 250, and that is strictly has to do with the rural water wells.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
Reluctantly.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, we're receding from our position going back to the House Committee substitute about wells.
Yes.
I already heard that on the previous two inquiries, but I hadn't inquired of you today, and I didn't want you to feel left out. Thank you.
You know, I feel a lot better, Senator. I appreciate it.
Further discussion? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Saline.
Senator, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
You know my perennial question on education.
I can't find my
copy of the bill, so I know I can trust you.
We've got the Turner fix in a very shorthand session.
You do. You're smiling, so I think that's an answer. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none. The senator is recognized to close.
Close.
The senator moves that the Senate receive from its position on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House 250 and take up and pass 250 and the bill be brought up for consideration. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Saline.
Move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 250 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, what is House Bill 250?
It exempts basically churches, rural church wells.
Oh, this is the well thing.
Yeah.
I'm for it. Thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Saline moves the House Committee substitute for 250 be read and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 250, an act relating to well water. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from Lawrence. Senator from Lewis. Senator from the 15th. Senator from Howell. Senator from Christian. Senator from Christian. Senator from Christian. Senator from Christian. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, you have third read and passed that bill. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, would you recognize the senator from Phelps for a motion?
Senator from Phelps, you are recognized for a privileged motion.
Mr. President, I move that conference committee report on Senate substitute for House Bill 458 be taken up for adoption.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I move that the conference committee report be adopted. And what we did, this is the, we had this bill yesterday, House Bill 458. We talked about the Missouri Farmland Trust, and there was also included in that bill the grain dealers, which we passed two or three times, noxious weeds language, and the brand book. We had a an amendment on the floor with the conservation easement language of the senator from Boone, and I think the senator from Saline had an amendment. Everyone is in agreement. The House is in agreement with all the language. There was a technical change that needed to be made. We had switched where the rules for noxious weeds should be between one of the two substitutes, and that's what we're trying to get this done. And everyone's in agreement. That's the only change.
You've heard the motion. The senator from Phelps. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I was in the hallway when I was taking my son around the Capitol, and this large man who is a representative comes up to me and his hands yeah. engulf my hand. I mean, when he shakes a hand, it covers my wrist. So
I know who you're
I think
about.
We all can attest that when he comes to shake our hand, we look up and wonder, what did I do now? Right?
And you notice those hands are always kind of rough and working hands.
Every year he's got something for agriculture. Right. One year it was tax credits for dairy farmers. I used to work with the Senator Clemens to deal right. with this issue, but an issue came up at the last hour last night about sales tax or something on something agricultural, and I said, at this late of the game, it's going to cost $200,000 to $300,000 in general revenue dollars. I'm going to be against it. Well, that man found me out in that hallway. And he didn't intimidate me, even though I was staring straight up at him. But he was upset because I stopped his one little sales tax issue. And I'm sitting here, and I said, but I had voted for all these other things agriculture wanted. I said, you were able to get 7 out of 9 things you wanted. Be happy. Don't we always tell our kids, be happy with what you have, and don't worry so much about what you don't have? Well, now, after not being intimidated, I look, and he has a bill in front of this General Assembly that's important to him.
458, yes.
The one we're on.
Yes.
Now, I am going to tell you publicly, I support this. I'm with you. Can you nicely go report to that large man over there that I'm supporting a piece of his legislation? So for the next year while I serve in this chamber, he doesn't have to come with those barely hands and golf me and make me stand up and look at him.
I'm going to tell him you're the most vocal supporter, and honestly, his bark is worse than his bite.
I know that. He's enjoyable to be around, but I'm sitting there thinking, you got almost everything you wanted. He says, yeah, but I wanted that. And then all of a sudden, a bill of his pops up on the floor. I'm like, well, I want to publicly acknowledge I am supporting this, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The Senator from Phelps moves the adoption of the Conference Committee Report for House Bill 458. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the first. Senator from St. Francis. Senator from Andrew. Your vote. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 no, the conference committee report is adopted. Senator from Phelps.
President, I now move that House Bill 458 be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion. Is any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The Senator from Phelps moves that House Bill 458 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for House Bill 458, an act relating to agriculture. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Cole. Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from the first. Senator from the first. by your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no. You have third read and finally passed House Bill 458. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the tallying and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 2nd, for what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of you, Mr. President?
You may inquire of me.
I just wanted to know, did you get the same letter I got from the Secretary of the Senate that said we have violated so many of the Senate rules, instead of wearing a scarlet A on our shirts, I had this jacket that was saying you needed to wear this after our recess. Did you get that same letter?
I got the memo.
Did you? Well, I think you look fantastic.
I think you look great, too.
You're just a great Missourian. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire this, Senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
I yield.
You know, I just walked by you just a second ago, and I noticed that you had that great-looking jacket on, but you got something instead of the pin of the Senate pin, on. Is, I don't know if that's legal. What is that?
It looks like the head of a chupacabra.
Say that again. I thought it looked like maybe the mascot of UCM, which
no,
is
this
in
is
the
clearly
senator
the
from
head of a
Johnson's
chupacabra.
District. Huh?
It's clearly the head of a chupacabra.
Sure, that's not a mule?
Oh, wait, it is a mule. Said to turn it upside down.
So, all right, well, that looks great. Mr. President, quick inquiry of you.
Yeah, state your inquiry.
Would that mascot on his jacket be within the orders of the rules? Or would that be a violation of the rules?
Oh, no, it's not a violation. not at all.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 26th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquiry of the Senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
He does. Yield. Senator, you know, I've looked forward to serving in this body for some time because, you know, for part of the reason is, you know me. I am a man who appreciates decorum, following the rules, living within the guidelines. Now, I have to ask you, tell me exactly where you got that jacket.
Well, I'm not real sure. I blacked out for a while. But, you know, when that usually happens to me, I have to go through my pants and my shirt and find my receipts to piece together what happened. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can find, which was inside the breast pocket here, was a business card for the vice president of the First Community Bank in Warrensburg, Missouri. So I can only assume that this jacket probably belongs to that individual.
So here's what I suspect. I think that that jacket must be part of a mandatory uniform for the senator from Johnson's other job.
It might be. He now, does work for a bank.
Now, do you remember that episode of Seinfeld where, who was the tall guy with the crazy hair?
Kramer.
Kramer kept going to that place of employment for a couple of months and he didn't even work there?
Yes, I do remember that.
You remember that?
I do.
I just wonder if perhaps the senator from Johnson has had cards prepared to make it look like he has this other fancy job, you know, outside of the legislature, when in fact he is a parking lot attendant.
Well, we know he's not a haberdasher, so. But I mean, all I have is I have a card right here that I'm. I might start handing out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Maybe introduce myself. Hi.
Thank you. Perhaps you should ask the senator from Johnson if it belongs to him, but that's between you and him. But thank you.
Well, I mean, it fits pretty well. The pants are a little small, but...
Nice. All right. Well, thank you.
Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
Could I inquire of the senator from the 2nd?
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
I yield.
He does.
Senator, I just had to let you know that is a fetching blazer that you have on.
And it is a blazer because it is a solid color and it has the
blazer gold blazer buttons on it. Yeah.
The only thing is it would have been blazing, but I tried to burn it, but unfortunately it's inflammable. It's one of its drawbacks.
And as your clothing consultant, I just want to give you a couple of tips.
Sure.
All right. It's a little snug in the point-to-point, as you can see the dimples just right below your sleeve there.
Those are called my pecs and my...
Oh, is that why that's doing that? And it may be just a touch bit too long on you. All right, so, you know, you might look for a refund.
If you have a nickel, then we can just do the transaction right now.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the informal calendar, House Bill 555.
Seeing no objection, we will go to the House bills for third reading, informal calendar, House Bill 555. The Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 555 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. I have a floor sub that I'd like to send forward as well.
Please send the substitute forward.
I believe it's been distributed. In this bill is the Turner Fix, the Quip Bill, Aerotropolis, Sports Tax Credit. That would be inappropriate. Local control, second injury fund. I already said Turner Fix. Not the foundation formula fix. But anyway, this is a bill, I'll move for the adoption of the Senate substitute and go through this briefly. Most of what's in here has already been passed. In fact, truly agreed and finally passed. The bill, as you have a summary, I hope, in front of you, there are some modifications in the Senate substitute that you see. The underlying bill deals with Disability History and Awareness Month. That's new. In 648, I believe that was the senator from the, not in here. Senator from, a lot of this is what was the senator from the second had in his omnibus disability bill, referencing getting rid of the term mental retardation or mentally retarded in statute. That's why this thing is so so thick. The renewal of the Children's Public Assistance Benefits, the Missouri Health Net Oversight Committee truly agreed and finally passed in 640. The Children's Services Commission composition, which I believe I had a bill or amendment yesterday on, which changes the composition. The Prematurity and Infant Mortality Task Force, along with the Senator from Clay's amendment that was incorporated into the Senate substitute. The parental rights provision, which was in 648, which has been truly agreed and finally passed. The accessibility of parking and parking lots. That's new. That just requires that any new parking lot, new parking spaces be referred to as, or that one actually says the Act requires new parking lots and parking. This is the senator from, whose amendment is this? This was previously discussed. Anyone? Bueller? The Mental Health Earnings Fund was truly agreed and finally passed in 557. And the Department of Mental Health Abuse and Neglect reports truly agreed and finally passed in House Bill 648. So you have a big bill in front of you, most of which is the repeal of wording with regard to mental retardation and mentally retarded, as the senator from the second had a similar bill, and a few new provisions in here as well, and be willing to answer any questions.
The senator moves the adoption of Senate substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Just verifying.
Senator, what purpose do you rise?
I'm sorry. I would like to inquire of the senator from the 15th.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Quick, very quick. You did say new signage, so there doesn't need to be any replacement of existing signs for the accessible parking?
That's correct. That is correct. New.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
I inquire the senator from 15.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, one thing I didn't hear you mention that is included in this bill is the health care exchange.
Okay.
Is it in here?
No.
That's
what I thought you found it in here.
That's what I'm asking.
Concerned. It's not in here. No, it's not in here. These are all basically consent bills for the most part.
Okay.
Most of them have been truly agreed and finally passed. There are a couple new provisions in here, but
I mean,
no
when we drop, you know, a big thing like this on our desk, I mean, you know, it could be hidden in there someplace.
No,
but
this
not.
Is the disability, a lot of disability provisions that have been previously discussed. Yeah.
No health care exchange.
No, no QIP, no Turner Fix.
All right.
No,
you just didn't mention that one. All right.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the senator from 15th.
Senator, do you?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
You don't have a removal of February election here, do you?
No.
All right. Well, real quick, let's go back to that task force.
Sure.
How many members are on that task force? And have we passed that out of here before?
We did yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about that briefly.
Sure.
And so that I am, you know, we have tried to pare down number of boards and task forces and commissions. And here we are, we've got another board in front of us, and this one I know is larger, but now it's got 18 members to it. So I think that it's important that we, when we look at forming these things, that we need to try to reduce the size of commissions and boards. And yeah, you take on that?
I don't disagree with you, I suppose, generally. I think this has been something that's been worked on for a while. There are 18 members, all of which would be members of the General Assembly. I think the idea was to come up with some public policy recommendations. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think it was up yesterday. We had the Senator from Clay's amendment and went on a bill. I believe that was, it was truly agreed and finally passed in House Bill 464.
All right. Well, I just wanted to bring the body's attention to that and also talk about how we need to try to keep government smaller and not in some of these boards and commissions are getting outrageous. 18 members here, 18 members there. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
Yes, to inquire of the Senator from the 15th.
Senator Yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Yeah, Senator, the only thing that I'm catching so far that's not jumping out at me is something that we've heard or done before, and I mean, we may well have. On page 24 and 25,
okay.
About the MoHealthNet or the CHIPS program.
Yeah.
It's all underlined in 208.184.
Yes.
Was this another bill or was
Hold
it heard in
let me
committee?
Look, let me
or,
look.
Huh?
It adds a provision regarding the renewal application for the CHIP program by providing that even if there are no changes in information such as family composition impacting eligibility, the parent or caretaker shall send back the pre-populated form with a signature to verify information. I don't believe this has a fiscal note. It doesn't have a fiscal note.
I thought I heard somebody say my name. I was like, where's that coming from? Sorry. Okay. Well, so I think I will. I may come back and inquire of you about something else, but to short circuit this, let me go ahead and inquire the senator from the 4th.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
May I inquire the senator from the 4th?
Senator from 4th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Okay, Senator, so tell me about it.
Currently what happens is the parents get a blank form in the mail to re-enroll their kids, and it looks like a new application, and they think, well, I've already got insurance, I don't need to fill this out, so they don't fill it out. So then they throw it in the trash. So then they bring their kids to the doctor, they end up don't have an insurance, so then I got to go back and reapply. All this does is say, we're not going to send out any more blank forms, they're going to be pre-populated, identify any differences, sign it, and send it back.
Is this a bill?
No, it was an amendment.
And
I did not offer it, no.
I
just know about it.
You did not offer it. It was in the House?
It very well could have been, yeah.
Do you know if that particular provision has been truly?
I do not know, no. Well, I just know the issue.
Okay. There's I've got a couple of concerns about it because pre-populated is is, as you know, a really nice word for saying we're going to tell you the right answer so that you don't mess up. And they're going to fill in the form for you. And so I realize that they have to sign it, but it sounds like the problem is that there are people who are not returning forms whenever they've been asked to return a form to keep their child insured.
Well, that's the end result. And the issue that we're trying to address is that people are mistaken. They don't realize they have to. They get a blank form in the mail. They don't realize they have to fill the whole thing out and send it back. So what we're doing, anyway, go ahead.
Well, I understand. It just seems like that if we've got a problem with them not sending forms back in, that they're going to look at it and say, yeah, I already got this, and throw it away. My concern is that if you ask them to fill out the information, then they have to look at it and say, yes, this child is still living in my home, or yes, I still have custody of my child. Whereas if the state of Missouri is already telling them what the right answers are in order for them to continue to get benefits, then they don't have to worry about the exact, you know, veracity of doing it. I mean, you still have to send it back in.
That's correct.
And so if they're inclined not to send it in, they're still going to be inclined not to send it in. I'm just concerned that when we're doing the work for them and telling them this is the correct answer so that you continue to get benefits, what, they still have to...
Well, I mean, when you get your driver's license renewal, it's pre-populated, right? It's up to you to change it. I think even now your tax forms, your name and address is pre-populated. You still have to change it.
It says that the department, based on all information available to the department, notice of the parent, that eligibility of the child will be renewed and continued based on such information unless the department is provided other information from the parent or caretaker relative.
Right. They get the form, and it's... They have to sign it and return it with any changes in their family, income, or their address.
Do we know how many people are just not filling these forms in and then they present themselves?
About 50,000 families a year.
And they think that it will stop them if we fill out the forms for them, but they still have to mail them back in.
Yeah. And, you know... not that this has anything to do with your concern,
right?
But there are federal bonuses that are paid for adopting strategies like this. Currently, we have four. Right. If we get the fifth one, we apply for
we
are eligible for the bonuses, and. They can be tens of million dollars a year, only to stop the falling off the rolls and having to put them back on.
Say because the last part again, Senator. What?
Only to stop the situation where these families are falling off the insurance rolls, and then we have to they're going to need the insurance. So we're in a loop where we've had 50,000 families fall off the insurance rolls, and then we have to re-enroll them.
Yeah, and Senator, I appreciate that. I'm listening. I'm multitasking. I'm listening to you while I'm thumbing through here to see everything. And the rest of it, almost everything is just changing the names of things. It seems like that we had. My memory's failing me on this. I don't remember us doing this about a form that's already filled out for them. But Senator, I do believe that there were. Two amendments. I know one of them was added. That was the senator, I believe, from the 5th, that we included her amendment in what we did. Thank you for the inquiry. I need to Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senator from Clay.
May I inquire the senator from the 5th?
Senator from the 5th. Senator from the 5th, do you yield?
Was that your...
Senator from the 5th, do you yield?
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Yes, I do.
She does proceed.
I'm sorry.
I'm just having a hard time remembering right at the moment.
Okay.
Was this an amendment that we discussed about... About the pre-populated form? Did you and I have this conversation?
No, we did not. I don't recall you having that conversation at all this year, Senator, actually.
I don't remember that either. Well, Senator?
You want to have that conversation now?
What do you think about the government filling out forms for people and just sending them?
Well, I don't have a problem with that because that's efficient. The issue is to put it in something that people would recognize as other than a standard, this is who you have on your program. If it's renewal time, they need to make it such that somebody's going to tag it up by shape or color or printing to let them know that it's something different than just a recap of what you already have.
Yeah, I'm not sure that this solves the problem, and the more
I think
about it...
What page are you on, Senator? What page are you on?
Page 24.
Okay.
And I don't remember this language. I don't remember the fiscal note. I don't generally support the government doing work for people. But I don't remember anything about this. And I just thought maybe you knew something about it.
Well, I really don't remember us having a pre-populated discussion on the floor. Maybe during the budget. You might have had that, maybe.
I'm not on the appropriations
committee.
I'll inquire of one other senator that I want to see amendment is in here, Mr. President.
Okay.
Thank you for the
senator from Clay.
May I inquire of the senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, he is not on the floor. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the senator from Buchanan. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the senator from Buchanan. Senator from Clay?
While we're awaiting the senator from Buchanan, would it be appropriate for me to inquire of you if it would be all right if the research table would do an amendment to take out 208.184?
Senator, you have the floor, so... Awesome. Senator from Clay.
Seek unanimous consent first of all, I withdraw my request for inquiry from the senator from Buchanan. And the second thing is I would seek unanimous consent for the Senate to stand at ease so that our research staff would have an opportunity to draft a quick amendment, which I will also withdraw that amendment because our crack research staff has already prepared the amendment. Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
They prepared it faster than I could actually sign it.
Send the amendment forward.
Mr. President, the amendment is short. I would ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Ridgway to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 555, page 24 and 25, section 208.184, by striking all of said section from the bill, and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Well, first, Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of the amendment, and yes. Mr. President, to explain the amendment, what it does is because I know that my committee has worked diligently on this, and I realize that there may have been other information, but I just simply don't remember anything about pre-populated form. I'm not sure it's a good idea, and I don't think it solves problems. So in an effort to try to get this bill across the finish line, my amendment removes that section. That's all it does.
Senator from Clay moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise?
To speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
Regardless whether we object to the way that we're sending this form out, we're in a situation where these families fall off of the insurance rolls, then we have to put them back on. It costs money to put them back on the rolls, excessive overhead at the state, and we still have to provide the service for the families. All this does is streamline the system, so I would encourage people to oppose the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
To speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
Mr. President, this is an issue that I'm hearing about for the first time, but based on the little information that I know about the way that they do enrollment for this program, all of these families will continue to remain eligible for insurance, and the first time that they present at their providers, they will be re-enrolled, and all this will be doing is creating another layer of paperwork and, frankly, cost to the state. All this appears to me to do is streamline the process. I don't think it hurts anything, and I, in fact, think it probably saves the state money, and it sounds like it might also put us in the position to qualify for some bonuses because we are willing to do the streamlined processes. So I would encourage folks to vote against this amendment.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I note on the clock that it is 5 minutes after 3 on our final day of session. I chair the Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families. I don't ever remember seeing this language before. I don't know what the cost is. It is purported to say that it will save the state money, but we don't know. Secondly, it could end up costing the state money because now the forms have to be mailed out, which I guess the forms are possibly being mailed out. But the whole point is to get the information back. And if they're not mailing in the forms now, what's going to make them mail in the forms later? It doesn't seem to solve the problem that it's purported to do. I don't believe this was filed as a bill. I don't believe it received a hearing. And for us to have less than 3 hours left in the legislative session, rather than risk the possibility that we do something really stupid, that we don't know what we're doing, I would suggest that we file this as a bill next year. Let's get it heard. Let's fix the problem that's out there and go ahead and let the rest of this bill go because I believe it's fairly non-controversial. So with that, Mr. President, I'll close.
The senator from Clay moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The noes appear to have it.
Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
Would ask for standing division.
Is there one other senator standing? You will have a standing division.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Would all the senators please go to their desk? A standing division has been called on Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate substitute for House Bill 555. Would all the senators please go to their desk? Standing division has been called on Senate Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please stand. Please be seated. All those opposed to Senate Amendment Number 1, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Please be seated. By your vote of 23 aye, 6 no, you are defeated. Senate Amendment number 1. Further discussion? I'm sorry. By your vote of 23 aye, 6 no, you have approved Senate Amendment number 1. You have approved Senate Amendment number 1. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close on the Senate substitute.
I close.
The senator from the 15th moves the adoption of Senate substitute for...
You guys are so stupid.
...for House Bill 555. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 15th.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 555 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 15th moves that the House Bill 555 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 555, an act relating to health care policies. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevenie, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Lawson, Wright Jones,
Senator from Andrew. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Would you recognize the senator from Boone for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 323?
Senator from Boone, you are recognized for a privileged motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 323 with House Amendments 1 and 3 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Boone.
All right, Mr. President. Now I'm going to move that House Amendment 1 be adopted. This is the Auditor's Comparative Audit Bill, which we passed out of here. Allows the auditor to do a comparative audit on the 10 largest state agencies. What House Amendment 1 is, it is the language that we have passed out a couple of times on the executive director of MHDC, that position be required to come for Senate advice and consent, basically Senate confirmation, before that person could be in that position. That's House Amendment 1.
You've heard the senator. Does any senator desire to be heard on House Amendment number 1? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator moves the adoption of House Amendment number 1. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevenie, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer,
aye.
Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Cole. Senator from Howe. Senator from Newton, could you please repeat your vote? Senator from the second. No. Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from the 15th. Senator from Andrew. Senator from Howe. Senator from the first. By your vote of 28 aye, 4 no, you have adopted House Amendment number 1. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move for adoption of House Amendment 3. House Amendment 3 was added. It requires, in addition to the comparative audit that the auditor does in the agencies, that the auditor do a comparative audit of the House and Senate.
Senator moves the adoption of House Amendment number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Okay. This stops here. You and I can either talk, or I can go talk on something else, or your choice.
Well, I didn't know if you still had an issue with language or not, depending
on
where 116 is.
Come on. You've been here longer than that.
So you've got an issue with
House Amendment 1? What you just adopted.
House Amendment 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
That you just adopted.
Right.
Now, we can reconsider that. You can make a motion to reconsider, or we can stop right here. Your
well,
choice.
You weren't in here, so I didn't know if you still had an
objection. I'm trying to work on your issues and with the nuke bill, and I'm trying to work with the floor leader on
right.
the nuke bill. So,
but let me ask you this, because we don't want to kill the underlying bill.
Right.
So it's your position that if that amendment stays on there?
That's what I've said.
That you will kill the underlying bill?
Without question.
Okay. And it's the MHDC language that you don't want?
I've already had this conversation with you, Senator. Yes, sir.
I know, but I didn't know if we were still there. All right. I don't want to kill the underlying bill.
But, I mean, you need to withdraw your motion on the adoption of this second amendment.
Yeah, I am going to.
Lay it over for some intervening business,
well,
and then vote to reconsider.
I don't think we need to do that, though. I think I'll withdraw my motion on House Amendment 3.
Senator, are you asking it to with? Okay.
Now, my understanding. Mm-hmm. Is you're going to have to withdraw your motion
right.
on the underlying amendment. There's going to have
three.
To be, there, yeah, the one
right.
we just adopted.
Right.
There's going to have to be intervening business right. between that motion to reconsider and the vote. We can't
yeah,
go just
correct.
To that. And that, then, but if that's the agreement we have,
yeah,
then
you're
I'll
gonna
yield
kill,
the
you're
floor.
You're going to kill the underlying bill. I think the auditor right. needs this bill.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
While I would like to see that MHDC language, we pass it out of here on the bills. I don't want to kill the underlying bill.
Understood.
All right.
So that's our agreement.
That is it.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Senator from Boone.
I withdraw my motion for adoption of House Amendment 3.
That motion will be withdrawn.
Lay it over. Yeah. Mr. President, will you lay it on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
Yeah, spend a little bit of time on it. Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of House bills for third reading, informal calendar, House Bill 111.
Seeing no objection, House bills for third reading, the informal calendar, House Bill 111.
Bill 111 be brought before the body for third reading.
You heard the motion from the senator from Lawrence. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The senator from Lawrence.
Can I just lay back over?
All right, Mr. President, there is a substitute. I ask that you send that substitute back. I don't know where the new substitute is.
The substitute will be sent back.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a new substitute. I'd like to send it forward and move for its adoption.
Senator, please send the new substitute forward. The Senator has moved the adoption of the Senate substitute number two.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for its adoption. In the interest of brevity, I prepared a new substitute that incorporated in... It's been distributed. Ask for a waiver of its reading. Thank you.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Proceed.
Mr. President, I simply did a new substitute rolling in all amendments that had been adopted. The senator from the first and I were in debate just before this bill was laid over last time. He was going to offer an amendment dealing with child support calculation. I rolled that amendment in thinking that if no one had an objection, it would save the time of offering it. If anyone did have an objection, we could amend it back out and no time is actually lost. I do have one amendment to that substitute I'd like to send forward, changing a shall to a may.
Send your amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the judiciary bill. It has not been distributed. It's very brief. I ask it to be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Goodman to amend Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 111, page 28, section 452.340, line 22 of said page by inserting the word, quote, shall, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the word, quote, may, close quote.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. The senator from the first wanted to adjust the child support calculation formula of the Form 14 so that in truly equal parenting time custodial arrangements, up to 50% adjustments could be made by a judge in calculating child support to offset for that time. The language in this paragraph was inadvertently made a shall when I'd like it to be a may so that the judge still has discretion, but the cap of his discretion is increased. And just so we don't forget anything while we're on the amendment, I'll run through the rest of what was rolled into the new substitute. The senator from St. Francis had asked that his Iron County Hospital be put in here because it was not getting anywhere in the House. He was going to offer that amendment. It had passed this body before. I rolled it in. If anybody doesn't want it, you can amend it out. The amendments that had already been adopted. I believe those are the only changes. So with that, I move adoption of the amendment.
The senator moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment. An amendment?
We are on Senate amendment Number 1, the Senate Substitute Number 2.
Well, what I can put on your amendment. Just changing the child care. I can put it on there, but go ahead.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment Number 1. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I close.
The senator from Lawrence moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Discussion on the substitute. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
Before I do that, I want to talk about the amendment. We had a nice discussion this morning, the senator from the first and I did, about allocable share. And about the fact that Missouri's missed out on $180 million since 2004, yet we continue to have rising health care costs, predominantly through Medicaid, as a result of smoking. And I agree with the senator from the first that we've got continuing rising mandates. And one statistic that I like to use, the pharmacy line in the budget, just Rx for pharmacy, for Medicaid. Mr. President, can I have some quiet in the chamber, please? Thank you, Mr. President.
We please have some order in the chamber. It's hard to hear. Proceed.
The appropriation for pharmacy on Medicaid for 1 year is over $1 billion, $1.1 billion. That's just for pharmacy. The entire budget of what we allocate to higher education in the state of Missouri is $850 million. And the pharmacy line isn't even the highest line in the Medicaid budget. And there's two issues there. One issue is that we continue to have increasing mandates from the federal government on caseload growth and cost to continue. But the other issue is we continue to not only allow but incentivize bad lifestyle, which leads to, it is directly attributable to illnesses such as heart attack, ER visits for asthma, low birth weight babies, and we're paying for that. So if you get pregnant and you smoke 3 packs a day and you have a premature baby, which under normal circumstances would cost $5,000, cost $350,000, everyone in the room needs to understand we pay for that. If you are Medicaid eligible, we're going to pay for that baby, whether it's $5,000 or $350,000. Because you chose to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And we incentivize that by allowing the loophole to exist under the Master Settlement Agreement, where companies continue to dump low-cost cigarettes into the state of Missouri. They have a 97% advantage, cost advantage, in Missouri as to other states, because they pay into escrow and they get it right back out. They don't get it back out in other states. Now, people are going to smoke if they want to smoke. But we've got to close the loophole and stop the incentive for low-cost cigarettes so that there's no consideration on that end, yet we have to deal with the effect and all of the increased health care costs. What my amendment would do would be close the loophole, require those companies that are non-participating manufacturers to pay in, and leave their money in escrow as they do in 46 other or 45 other states for 25 years. It evens the playing field between manufacturers. And after my discussion with the senator from the first, it sounds like, as of yesterday, an initiative petition has been filed to do just that. And I think that's embarrassing. I think it's embarrassing that we can't come here and do our job. And if we're not going to do it, the people are going to do it for us. That's just how it's going to work. And that's the discussion we had this morning. But what my amendment would do, it would close that loophole, as we should have done years ago. The attorney general is in favor of this. He's worked very hard on it. His office has worked very hard on this because we need to close that loophole. We're going to continue to be the dumping ground for low-cost cigarettes with a twice the average of smokers on Medicaid as non-Medicaid. There's a reason for that. We dump low-cost cigarettes in this state. We've got to stop. The 45 other states to the Master Settlement Agreement stopped. We are the only one. We are the only one in the United States that has not done this. It subjects us to liability because it's a requirement of the Master Settlement Agreement to close this loophole, and it adds to our health care costs. So if I were to offer this amendment, that's exactly what it would do. It would close that loophole as we should have done years ago. Now, I've had a discussion with the senator from Lawrence, and I know there's opposition to this amendment. Why on earth is beyond me. I don't want to kill the senator from Lawrence's bill, which is what will happen if this amendment goes on there.
Hang on a second. Can we please have some order and turn the volume down or take your conversations to the side gallery? Senator from Boone, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. But everyone in this room needs to understand when we come back next year and we're looking at a budget hole of $200 million to $700 million, which it's probably going to be somewhere in that range, and yet we are faced with continuing costs on Medicaid, cost to continue, and caseload growth, which is probably going to eat up more of our discretionary general revenue than just about anything else. And we're going to sit here, we're all going to go, well, I guess you better take that out of K through 12. I guess you better take that out of transportation for K through 12. I guess you better take that out of higher ed. Because by God, we're not going to touch the fact that we are the cheapest dumping ground for cigarettes in the United States. Because we got to pay for all of the ill effects that go along with that and increased cost. Not going to touch that. But we're going to tell the middle class of this state, hey, keep paying your taxes. We got to put them towards Medicaid expansion. Because we can't cut back and control the dumping of low-cost cigarettes in the state of Missouri like we need to do. So when we have that discussion next year, I want everyone to keep in mind, that's the trade-off that you are making. And that I hope all your constituents understand that is the trade-off that you are making, because it's one or the other. Mr. President, I'm not going to offer that amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion on the substitute. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield. Senator,
he does proceed.
Thank you. Before you ask a question, can I say one more thing about the substitute?
Sure.
I knew there was one more change that we had made from this substitute from the last one. The senator from Lewis had offered his fee agreement language regarding the attorney general. The version in this chamber that had been offered and adopted in the last substitute had the 25% cap. The House adopted version did not, so this substitute takes out the cap and makes it consistent so that both chambers will match. That's the only other change. And that was so that we wouldn't have a motion to reconsider offered by a couple of other senators that would roll up more time on the floor. Now, if you have a question, I'll answer it.
It starts on that issue.
Okay.
I had asked before when we did the transparency, and I have no problem with outside counsel. I just wanted to make sure, when you're dealing with all state agencies, is this including your state retirement boards or your consolidated boards that operate but have a board of trustees separate that decide the policies?
Can you move your mic up? I'm sorry.
Does this contingency in competition between legal services deal with all of state government? In the example I gave before was dealing with the state retirement board, and if it dictates the bidding out of that.
This language was offered on by the senator from Lewis. If you want to,
I think I inquired
some
during
specifics
that
with him. That'd be great.
All right. Is there any issues in here dealing with sales tax?
No.
A redistribution of a sales tax issue. I haven't had a chance to get through it all.
No, it's the judiciary bill. I don't know of anything that has anything to do with
sales tax. At this stage, they're all omnibus bills, aren't they? Omnibus bills?
Ominous is right.
Well, I mean, we can just run through it real quick. I mean, there's not...
I don't know of anything like that in this bill.
It's just I haven't gone through it, and I want to make sure I go through it. It's... Let me give you a break. You can go talk to your assistant, make sure that's not in the bill while I sit there and inquire the senator from Lewis.
That's fine, but it's not in the bill, but I'll go confirm it.
Senator from the 13th.
Inquire the Senate. Drain.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
I don't have a problem with your transparency, but I think when you handled this the first time, I with the senator from Cape Girardeau, we sit on the state retirement board. Is that part of this transparency?
If you look on page 2 of this, which is like the language in all the amendments that have been offered, and actually the amendment that was put on in the House did include the cap, which was actually taken off in a conference committee. But on page 2 there, it says the state shall not enter into, and it is the state attorney general pursuant to section 27.060. So it would be any case that the attorney general would contract for.
Oh, just the attorney general contracting it for. That's... Let me read that.
Line 12, it says, the state...
The state shall not enter into a contingency fee contract with a private attorney unless the attorney general makes a written determination prior to entering into such a contract that contingency fee representation is both cost-effective and in the public interest. All this says to me is the attorney general says go ahead, then you can. But the chapter dealing with Mosier's, and I don't know if it's dealing with Consolidated 2, is the Board of Trustees.
The right above that in line 10 and 11 is the definition of state in any action instituted by the Attorney General.
Okay. That would probably more clarify it.
That's what I was hoping that it would be clarified. But, okay. Yeah, I do think this is a very good,
hey,
like I say, it gives...
I'm going to be honest with you. Construction companies have to bid for work. Why shouldn't attorneys?
I thought we were trying to save him a little time.
I think he's ready for me
is
to go
ready?
Back to him. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 13th.
I have yet to give up the floor, Mr. President.
Okay.
Do I need my sunglasses while addressing you?
It's up to you.
Inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
He does proceed. That because I didn't have a chance.
The only thing having anything to do with any sort of taxation is the Iron County Hospital provision, which actually is about to be amended out because it was adopted in the House after the substitute was put it together.
Okay.
So the answer to your question is no.
Thank you.
Senator from the 23rd.
I would request unanimous consent to stand at ease.
Seeing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease.
Senate will come to order. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from Lawrence.
That bill be laid on the informal calendar.
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Would you recognize the Senator from Boone for a privilege motion?
Senator from Boone, you're recognized for a privilege motion.
Thank you, Madam President. I think first I've got to move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 323 with House Amendments 1 and 3 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from Senator from Boone. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Now, Madam President, will you recognize me for a privilege motion?
You're recognized for a privilege motion.
Having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the body reconsider the vote that passed House Amendment 1.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Boone for reconsideration. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Boone has moved for reconsideration. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Trow, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Green.
Senator from Green, votes aye.
Votes aye. Senator from Franklin.
Aye.
Votes aye. Senator from Cole. You are not recorded. Aye. Senator from the second. Votes aye. Senator from Christian. Senator from the 24th. Votes aye. Senator from the 15th. Votes aye. Senator from the 9th. Votes aye. Senator from Andrew. Votes aye. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, you have adopted the reconsideration motion. Senator from Boone.
I withdraw my motion for the adoption of House Amendment 1.
The amendment will be sent back. No. Your motion is withdrawn.
Okay, Madam President, I now move that the Senate refuse to concur and request the House to recede on its position on Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 323. And take up and pass the same.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Boone. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the first, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
So, Senator, with this motion, then we'd be saying to the House that they take up the bill as it was passed out without any amendments.
Yep, that's correct.
All right, thank you.
Any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam President. I close.
Heard the motion from the senator from Boone. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion carries. Senator from the 23rd.
Madam President, would you see if there are messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House.
From the House. Okay. I can time that's happened. Request unanimous consent to stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease.
Beatles name, butt in and front end in, and has them arranged like Stonehenge. How very nice. So he's going to have to do this. Oh, I haven't been out long enough.
Come to order. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Would you see if there are messages from the House?
Yes, there are messages from the House.
Please have those read.
Please read the messages from the House, Madam Secretary.
Madam President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 62, an act relating to health care providers, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, to House Amendment 2, or House Start over. House Amendment 1, House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 2, House Amendment 2 as amended, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Would you recognize the Senator from Buchanan for a privileged motion?
Senator from Buchanan, you're recognized for a privileged motion.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 62 with House Amendment 1 and House Amendment 2 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Buchanan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Buchanan.
Madam President, I move that House Amendment 1 be adopted, or should I say
the whole entire? Senator, I believe that the correct motion would be for the adoption of the House Committee Substitute.
I move for the adoption of the House Committee Substitute.
The Senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of House Committee Substitute as amended for Senate Bill 62. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire the Senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Okay, Senator, the bill that passed, Senate Bill 62, I believe we passed it early in session, and I'd go over that briefly with me.
Right. This bill would simply make it so that healthcare providers who store records off-site would be able to recoup some of that off-site storage cost, which was not currently allowed by the law. This bill had an amendment by the senator from Cape to fix the problem with electronic storage.
Oh, so yes, I remember. You guys worked on it off the floor, and we came back and adopted an amendment and passed the bill.
Right, and it also updated the amounts for inflation so that, the language of the law could be correct.
Okay, all right. Now tell me what the House did with the bill.
Okay, the House took the bill and added on the FRA tax with 4-year sunsets through House
this
Amendment.
This is the nursing
one.
Home and hospital home, provider
hospital,
taxes.
Pharmacy.
That was on 322. Everything.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then they took up the federal transparency language.
They have a 4-year sunset?
That's correct, a 4-year sunset.
Okay.
And then they took up the federal health care transparency language, which is very similar to the language we passed out of this chamber. And if you recall, I promised that I would put the actual federal law on there, and which is what I did.
Okay, that's the Amendment 2.
That's the Amendment 2. And then also, in order to get that to happen, the insurance industry asked for a provision that would have our Joint Committee on Legislative Research, the Oversight Division, do an actuarial analysis of any proposed insurance mandate that would be delivered to the Speaker of the House and the President Pro Tem of the Senate for review before any such mandate would be enacted.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from St. Francis, are you seeking recognition?
I am.
For what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Buchanan, then I'll inquire the senator from the 24th to save time. They may
we will. Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, how long have you been waiting to get transparency?
A long time.
A long
Senator.
Time. And you kind of got the hospitals because they kind of like this other little thing in there.
Yeah, I think this is something everybody comes away from this ahead. The hospitals get their four-year FRA. The people of Missouri get transparency in the healthcare market, which will help drive down healthcare costs. And the insurance industry, which is always worried about further insurance mandates, gets a review of the effect of that before any of them will be passed. They're very happy.
Very good. Well, I thought that was a nifty bit of legislating, and it worked very well. Madam President, could I inquire the senator from the 24th?
Senator from the 24th, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, we're on transparency. And what I'd like to talk to you about is Senate Bill 302.
Senate Bill 302.
Didn't get a hearing.
Didn't
I don't
get
know
to
if
that
you
one.
Heard about it, but we're going to talk about it now for a little bit.
So let me be clear. This is about transparency.
Well, the bill that we're talking about is about transparency, okay. But this is kind of the same type thing. I've been amazed that I can't get a hearing on this, and it had nothing to do with me. The insurance company, our department, came to me and said, you know, we've got a problem. You know what Chapter 383 companies are?
Well, fill me in.
Well, 383 companies are companies that are used to provide insurance for doctors for medical malpractice. Now,
tough business.
All I've heard so far is, I got to tell you, is the insurance department side of this whole thing. So I could be completely wrong with all these figures and facts and the facts on the things, because because I can't get a hearing, we'll never know, I guess. But
this year.
Go ahead.
So we won't know this year, but
right. Well, I wanted just to talk about it a little bit. I couldn't even get it talked about. They tell me that this could be much bigger than the problem. You weren't here the last couple of years that we worked on the funeral home bills on the prearranged funerals, but it's cost millions and millions of dollars. This could be a much bigger problem than that, and we won't even talk about it.
The state ended up being on the hook for millions of dollars?
Well, nobody's going to be on the hook. There's going to be what they're fearful of. I don't know if you know it, but to come up with one of these, 383, it takes $100 to start up the company. $100. And even years after we set these up, there's still no financial requirements. They don't have to have any solvency requirement to show that they have this. They can insure the doctors against a medical bill. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because you would think that we would require some amount of capital if you're going to protect patients against, let's say, less than desirable outcomes. If they would lose their baby or have some major thing, they need to be protected, wouldn't you say?
Well, and then they go to sue the doctor, and then the doctor says, well, I'm insured, and then the insurance company is insolvent.
Yeah.
That's essentially how it goes.
And their point is, from what I've talked about, is that then they could go to the doctors and assess them if they suddenly $1 million, they could assess them. The problem with that is they can leave. There's nothing in here saying the doctors have to stay around that company to get assessed.
Okay.
And, you know, there's no insurance the state has. Most insurance has a backup plan, a safety net, if you would, to protect the consumers if something happens to the insurance company. You know, in this, there is no safety net. We have nothing if one of these companies belly up.
Sounds like a loophole needs to be fixed.
Well, I would think so. What this bill did, and this is the insurance department, they would require you to have a surplus of $600,000.
Okay.
Now, $600,000, does that sound unreasonable to insure doctors all over the state?
Given the size of their claims.
I was going to say, what would if there was a bad outcome for a baby or something, do you think $600,000 would be too much capital for an insurance company to have?
It doesn't sound like a lot of money to me.
Well, do you know that they can still operate if they have a negative net worth? A negative net surplus for 3 years as a negative net surplus?
And what would the logic of allowing them to continue to operate be?
I don't know. You're insurance licensed, right?
Aren't you? I am.
I am too. Yeah. I don't know any company that would be allowed to back up their commitments with a negative balance sheet.
I'll tell you what, Senator, it's an hour and a half to the end of my first session, and I guess the last chance I have to throw one here, how much I enjoyed this experience. The absolute best part of this 19-week journey were the public hearings. And when a bill actually gets an audience, and actually the senator from the 14th and I got into a conversation in one of our committee meetings where she had expressed to me the fact that she's discouraged by the fact that a lot of her bills don't get heard.
Would you rather not?
And I think that there's one thing we should fix here is that we should make time to hear as many bills as we possibly can, because what happens in those hearings is you hear from all interested parties. You hear from those against, those for, those to inform. You hear from people in the industry. People have had good experiences, bad experiences. You hear from ordinary citizens of all walks of life. And I think it's a real positive thing. And I hope that, you know, don't be discouraged. I know you're not. It's your last year next year. And refile that bill, and hopefully we get a hearing on it.
Well, I would hope. And I'm not going to ask you to help me stand up for an hour and 25 minutes and talk about this. Because I could. My wife says I'm very long-winded, and I could last at least an hour and 25 and deny the senator his bill. And I don't want to do that. I would just like a hearing. And I know you're interested in this subject, and you're going to be here longer than I am.
I share the desire. I'm all about transparency, too, and I think to the extent that we can open up and have consumers, in particular in this case, consumers have a real honest assessment of an insurance vehicle that they're purchasing or relying upon, I think that'd be a great thing to take up.
Well, I don't know if you knew this before you got here. There was a committee set up this past summer to look into these things, and this, as one of the members told me, was the most eye-opening thing about the whole committee, that this was a lot more potential of damaging people around the state of Missouri than anything any committee they'd ever been on.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, we haven't had it covered by the people on the table over there, and I was thinking maybe you ought to do a poem. And if I did a poem, they may check into this. If I could just rhyme some things...
Just keep it short.
Just a short poem, just a few verses.
A Man from Nantucket kind of thing?
Well, something I'm going to leave out Nantucket because it's far, far away. But a poem might, but then I thought, you know, I'm not going to do a poem. But I did want to bring this up and ask that you, if I drop the ball or die of obesity over the year, to pick this up for next session.
Are you insured?
And at least have, hopefully, because I don't know why this bill, it was funny, it's an insurance bill, and it was not assigned to the insurance committee. And I thought, wow. But then it didn't even, when the committee didn't even get a hearing. So I thought I would make sure in case somebody knocks me off, or if I die leaving here, that somebody would make sure that we try to get a hearing on this, because my information could be completely off. Yeah. And yet we'll never know. Because we can't even get people to come in and testify for or against.
We'll get it done next year.
Thank you, Senator. And I will end that, Madam President. This bill. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Hearing none. Senator, you are recognized to close on adoption of the House Committee substitute.
Thank you, Madam President. I renew my motion.
The Senator from Buchanan has renewed his motion for the adoption of House Committee substitute to Senate Bill 62. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Andrew votes aye. Senator from Cole votes aye. Senator from Franklin votes aye. Senator from the 4th. Senator from Cape votes aye. Senator from Stoddard votes aye. Senator from the 8th votes aye. Senator from the 13th votes aye. Senator from the 2nd votes aye. Senator from St. Francis, are you recorded? By your vote of 33 aye, 1 no, you have adopted the House Committee substitute. Senator from Buchanan.
President, I move that House Committee substitute for Senate substitute number 2 for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 62 as amended be read a third time and finally passed.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from Buchanan. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Buchanan has renewed his motion that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 62 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee substitute for Senate substitute number 2 for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 62, an act relating to health care providers. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
By your vote of 34 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Let's go back to House bills for third reading, the informal calendar.
House bills for third reading,
House Bill 111, calendar. Senator from Lawrence.
House Bill 111, Senator from Lawrence.
Then I move that House Bill 111 be brought back before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Lawrence. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Madam President. I now again move adoption of the pending Senate committee substitute.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Lawrence for adoption of the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 111. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. Just briefly inquire of the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I really appreciate your help, you know, in the amendment that you offered to fix that shall to a may on the one part. And then in conversations that we had with people that are much more experts on this issue than you yourself or me, Right. They've been working on this, much to my delight. You know, there's been a committee that was formed by the Supreme Court that has actually been looking at this issue. I don't know what prompted that, but it's something they've been looking at for a couple of years. So information was given to me that if we used up to 50% in the current Form 14, that would throw everything out of whack.
Right, because of other built-in cost of two households.
Exactly. So I was very receptive to that. I was pleased that they were looking at it. And they had an idea that if we use their numbers, which now allows that visitation credit to go to 34% rather than 18%, that would achieve what I'm trying to achieve there. And then they had one other idea that is actually going to be put forth in this amendment, in that in these areas of joint custody, that we'd actually give them the opportunity or give the Supreme Court the opportunity to actually have a different, a subsequent form that could be done, used just for those joint custody. So they have actually two different forms. All right,
that
so,
would be great if they can do that.
Okay, so I'm going to offer that amendment. Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Madam President.
Senator from the first.
I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. I would ask that it be read. It's very short, and I'd move for its adoption.
Send the amendment forward. Please have the amendment read.
Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Lemke, to amend Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 111, page 26, section 452.340, lines 24 and 25 of said page, by striking said lines and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, comments for completion of the child support guidelines and a subsequent form developed, close quote.
Madam President?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Senator from the first.
So again, what this amendment would do is just strike lines 24 and 25 and then insert that following that allows the court to develop another form that would be used just for joint custody cases. I'd be happy to address any questions. If not, I'd renew my motion.
The Senator from the first has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for House Bill 111. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from the first.
Senator from the first, do you yield?
Gladly.
He yields. Proceed.
You and I briefly had a conversation, perhaps yesterday, about this amendment, and I wanted to tell you that I fully support it because I have seen many of my constituents who have been in a really bad situation, and I told you about one in particular that ended up going to jail unnecessarily, who is completely committed to his children. And because of the economy, he was negatively impacted. And so things did not work out the way that they should have. And I know there's a conversation that we had about civil and something else, and maybe you want to explain that. So
say that one more time.
We had a conversation about civil suits versus...
Well, as the conversation went, it had to deal with what happens in these cases where child support has been ordered, okay, and it's a civil action, all right, and this is a totally different, not totally different, it's related, but then what happens in the case of your constituent, I've had the same thing happen with a few of my constituents where they were, you know, participating in raising their children, they were doing everything right, and then all of a sudden because of the economy, you know, they lose their job, and they then can be charged with criminal non-support, even though they're doing everything they can to support their children. So, I mean, that's an issue, I think, that although the things that I'm trying to accomplish here, I'll tell you what, Senator, I was very encouraged when this gentleman, who is an attorney, who's serving on this commission to actually look at this, I didn't even know they were out there doing it. And it's encouraging to me. They've been working on this for a couple of years, so...
Well, thank you so much, Senator, and congratulations for addressing an issue that's very important.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending amendment? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the first has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for House Bill 111. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We are now back on the motion of the senator from Lawrence. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Madam President. I renew my motion.
You're forgiven. The senator from Lawrence has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate substitute for House Bill 111. Madam Secretary, please. No. For the adoption of the Senate substitute, roll call the substitute. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Substitute is adopted. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Madam President. I now move that Senate substitute for House Bill 111 be third read and passed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Lawrence. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I close.
Senator from Lawrence has renewed his motion that Senate substitute for House Bill 111 be third read and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute number 2 for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 111, an act relating to the judiciary with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 15th, votes aye. Senator from Cape, votes aye. Senator from the 8th, that is not an appropriate inquiry, Senator. Votes aye. By your vote of 34 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfect. Before we do that, there is an emergency clause on the bill. Senator from Lawrence, you are recognized for adoption of the emergency clause.
Thank you, Madam President. I move for the adoption of the emergency clause.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Lawrence for the adoption of the emergency clause. That is not a debatable motion. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Cape, votes aye. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. May I inquire the senator from Christian?
Senator from Christian, do you yield?
Senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian. The senator from Christian is speedily making his way to his desk. Senator from Christian, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you. Is there anything I can do for you today?
I think we're finished. Thank you very much.
Do you got anything?
Senate bill for perfection, what, third read, anything?
I think they're all off the board.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Request unanimous consent to stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Order, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of House bills for third reading. The informal calendar, House Bill 462.
House bills for third reading, the informal calendar, House Bill 462. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House Bill 462 be brought before the body for third reading.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Andrew. All those in support of that measure say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. I have a Senate sub. I would like to send it forward.
Please send your Senate substitute forward.
Madam President, the substitute has been distributed, although shortly. I would request a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection to a waiver of the reading, it will be waived.
Thank you, Madam President. I move for the adoption of the Senate sub. I will slowly walk through what I know to be in the sub, and then we can begin the process of question and answer. You will have much better questions than I do answers. The first item, basically everything that was in the Senate committee sub, we have pulled out. The only thing remaining, or what has gone back in, is they have come to an agreement on OPC funding as well as the early site permit. With that is also a component that deals with the clarifications around Prop C. If you remember earlier in the year, there was a JCAR ruling and a JCAR challenge around Prop C in the way that the rule promulgation happened. The Prop C information that is in here, or the Prop C components that are in here, are meant to clean that up. Everyone should have on their desk not only the bill, but the summary as well. Essentially what this does in terms of the early site permit component, it provides $45 million to fund the early site permit. It is a hard cap of $45 million. There are clawback provisions that are in place, and it provides enhanced funding for the OPC at approximately $3 million per year. Right now, the Public Service Commission has an assessment authority of 0.25. What this legislation would do is it would roll back the 0.25 to 0.23, and then it would also allocate up to a potential of 0.04 for the Office of Public Counsel, the overall total component being 0.27. If you, just for the body's knowledge, right now, the Public Service Commission is funded at 0.19. So they have authorization up to 0.25. They're actually using 0.19. Both of these funds, although they are assessments on utilities, both of these funds in revenue streams would come through the appropriations process just like the Public Service Commission does today. So back to the early site permit, the three components are the main issues. As you look through the summary, you will see greater detail on each of those. What I want to do now is go ahead and open for questions. If I am able to answer them, I will. If not, the senator from Cole, I hope, is the expert on the early site permit. And then I have a reasonable understanding, although not great detail, on the Prop C fix. What the Prop C fix that is in here, it is the Prop C fix that came out of the House. I believe it passed out on House Bill 613 earlier this year. This is version 26 from the House. As you can imagine, there's been a lot of time spent by both the utilities as well as the renewable energy folks. I think a fair assessment is nobody loves it, but hopefully they can live with it. With that, Madam President, I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate sub, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
The senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 462. Does any senator desire to be heard on that pending motion? Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire the senator from Davies.
Does the senator from Andrew yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator?
Yes.
I think we've talked about this bill a lot this year. Well, a couple times anyway.
Some on the floor, a lot off the floor.
How much on the floor?
I don't know the exact amount of time.
Well, we had it in a bill from the senator from the 5th. Yep. We briefly discussed it a little bit on the floor that day. Other than that, we haven't had much discussion in this body. I will tell you that I've had some concerns about the OPC funding from day one. I have voiced those concerns to you and the senator from Cole and to every person that visited me in my office 3 months ago. Haven't heard from them since the time I offered the amendment on the floor about how to do that before the senator from Cape offered the motion to point of order the bill, I believe, and that bill, then we withdrew from that motion and moved
sure.
on. So I am a little bit disappointed that we're at this point today where I have a little over half an hour and I'm having to sit down here and make a decision that I stop this bill that I know that you've worked hard on and a number of other people worked hard on at this point. I wanted to voice that concern right up front, and I'm going to voice that concern to the senator from Cole, but I wanted to first talk to you face-to-face on the floor and let you know that.
Well, Senator, I appreciate it. And as I will share with you, as I share with the whole body, if you would have asked me 2 hours ago, I would have told you I didn't think this was probably going to get done. And I will tell you that whether we like it or not, the reality is there's probably been more negotiations on this issue in the last 24 hours than there's been in the last 24 weeks. The reality is that we now have it in front of us, and I believe the will of the body will prevail. If this body is comfortable moving forward, so be it. If they're not, I respect that as well. I just committed to give it a try and put the issue forward.
All right. One quick question or
sure.
one quick comment on this.
Yes.
My understanding is at one point we weren't going to be assessing a fee on the water companies and the gas companies. Now my understanding is that's part of this bill. So the fee for the OPC funding is going to go to all utilities throughout the entire state, including water and gas.
That is my understanding as well.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Yes.
Madam President, I'd like to
Senator
inquire,
from the 8th.
I'd like to inquire the Senator from Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield?
Yes, ma'am.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I know you've worked extremely hard on this bill. You came down here and you and I talked before, I think we were even sworn in about this bill. And
yes,
you've
sir.
Done a ton of work and there's been a lot of time spent on this bill. I understand that in this area, this is about jobs to you. I understand that this bill doesn't create a job. It creates an ability to go get a permit. okay? But it is a step in that direction. And you and I have talked, and you know where I stand on this issue.
Yes, I do.
And I am very disappointed that we are here today with about 30 minutes left in the day, and I'm having to make a decision whether this bill dies. And I am telling you that because of your hard work and because you were willing to tell me every time this came up, I will sit down today on this bill so that we can move it forward. I won't be supporting it. I don't agree with everything in it, especially this OPC funding, and I'm very disappointed that we're here.
I appreciate your comments and your honesty. I can just tell the whole body that, as we heard from the Senator from Jefferson last night, my expectations were a little bit deflated even as of yesterday. But I would explain to the body that the dynamics of the two unique groups that were gathered talking about this bill, one being a group of utility providers, which we talked about before, one being a group of industrials, along with some consumer groups. If you think of the makeup of both of those groups, the unique issues that the parties within the group have made it a very complicated issue to try to work through. And I can tell you that there are a lot of people in this building and in this floor who have spent hundreds of hours trying to make sure the balance of consumer protections versus the business model to move forward have been as best we can get to it.
And I know you've got some really good consumer protections in here, and I won't make you go through them because of the time. Thank you, Senator McColl.
Thank you,
Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
I haven't had a chance to go through it, so on the Senate floor, I'm going to ask you straight up, is that water issue in here?
Yes, Chris, is not in here.
Okay. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion for adoption of the Senate substitute? Senator from the 4th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield? He yields. Proceed.
Senator, thank you very much. The OPC funding, it's
yes.
in here at
up to a potential 0.04.
Which is what in real dollars?
Approximately $3 million a year.
$3 million.
Right.
I heard in a prior inquiry, water and gas is included now. How about telephone?
It is my understanding that telephone is included at this point.
Telephone also.
My understanding is it's in all utilities, and from what I've been told, everyone has taken that. I mean, that isn't done to them. Everyone has agreed to that, if I understand correctly.
Okay. So then we talk about the Prop C fix. Prop C fix currently, what does Prop C dictate? 10% by?
15% by 2021, if I remember correctly.
And the fix is what?
The fix is about the phase-in. So basically the whole debate around Prop C has been about what the phase-in is going to be. And what I mean by that is are we going to, well, what the phase-in, meaning what years, what levels, and what renewable energy credits are going to be allowed to count towards that. The Prop C fix essentially clarifies all of that, starts the phase-in immediately, and allows the counting of much of the renewable energy that's been built in the last few years.
Let me tell you that the problem that I have with the Prop C was it allowed the utility, is the geographic problem.
Right.
It allowed the utility to buy electricity from Texas and count that as the Prop C goal.
Now, I know
is that covered in here?
I know that's been addressed in here, yes.
So this Prop C goal is covered by electric generation from Missouri.
The representative who wrote it is standing over there shaking his head yes. That is my understanding as well, yes.
Okay. And thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from St. Francis, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak briefly on the bill.
Proceed.
This is too short a time to be doing this stuff. The water users, the gas users, shouldn't be paying for oversight for the nuclear construction. This is too delicate a deal to screw up by offering an amendment. I'm not going to offer this amendment. But I would like the body's assurance that next year we're going to look at taking that part out on a reasonable, because they're throwing numbers at me that I don't have any way to verify in a matter of a minute or two. But I'd like to work on this because the gas users, water users shouldn't be paying for the additional oversight for nuclear. I would like to say that part of the bill. I'm going to support the bill because I'm all for this proposition. I don't want to throw a wrench in it. But next year, we need to look at this. There's no reason to do that, and I know the time is sharp. Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate substitute? Senator from Phelps, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the gentleman from Andrew.
Senator, sorry.
First time I've done
clearly
that.
Not a gentleman.
Senator will observe the protocol of the Senate. Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
The one question I guess that I have on this, all parties have agreed. However, the people that's paying the rate, our constituents, weren't at that table when this discussion went on. And we are their voice. So this is problematic for a lot of us at this late date in the game, because a lot of us have taken pledges not to raise fees, not to raise taxes, and now all of a sudden it's gone from not just electric users, but water users, everything. And, you know, when you say everyone was at the table, everyone's in agreement, where was the ratepayer on this discussion?
Well, you actually raise a valid point. And the Office of Public Counsel, which is what we've created the dedicated funding stream for, the Office of the Public Counsel is the voice of the ratepayer. And that's been the argument of those who have been arguing about this, is that they want to make sure that if we're going to allow the early site permit process to go forward, the voice of the people, the ratepayer, our constituents, us actually, they are adequately funded and they are there. Now, I will tell you this, Senator, and I actually will to also reference one of the issues brought up by the senator from the third. I'll be the first to admit this is at the 11th hour. And I've said before, I'll let the will of the body prevail. But I will tell you this. There are companies in this state that are going to make decisions later this year about what the future of their energy generation is going to be. Without passing this, they are going to take steps in a different direction. By passing this, we may keep this door open. It does not guarantee anything. And at the end of the day, I am not kidding myself to think that we may not be back here next year making some adjustments to this, and or if everyone has an agreement on where we need to go, that may not be happening as well, Senator. So I'm not for a minute acting like this is perfect.
Well, I want you to know that I support nuclear power. I accept the risk involved with nuclear. I have a university in my district that has one of the few nuclear engineering degrees left in this country. So I'm in no way, shape, and form against nuclear. I think this discussion comes down to exactly who are we putting on the hook, and does that ratepayer in Dent County or is that ratepayer in one of these other counties really feel that the Office of Public Counsel is representing them that well? And I know time's short. I think we should have a little more time to discuss this, and thank you for your inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I inquire of Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, what's the impact on the ratepayers in my district of this?
Well, of your exact district, I'm unaware of what it will be, but my understanding is statewide, they believe it will be approximately $700,000 is what the additional OPC piece will be. It has the potential to be up to $3 million, but I don't think they have said that they're going to need or take it all.
For what?
That's for the Office of Public Counsel. In terms of the early site permit component, Senator, that component there can be up to $45 million, and then what they will do, that's $45 million for the entire state, what they will then do is whatever companies enter into this process of moving forward with the early site permit, they will actually enter into an agreement, and depending on what percentage of the project they may or may not be taking, that percentage will then be assessed to them, if that makes sense.
Now, you mentioned in the bill the $45 million clawback. Where are the clawbacks in the bill?
The clawbacks are in, let's see here, let me find the section.
So the ratepayers, by the way, are also going to be water everyone now, unlike 2 years ago?
That's my understanding, Senator. My understanding on how they're doing with the clawbacks is the clawbacks are not directly...
And I apologize, but I got summary
about
19 minutes ago, and I got the bill almost 24 minutes ago.
I understand. The way the clawback works is that whenever a utility goes through the Public Service Commission process, there are costs that are determined to be prudent. And then the Public Service Commission has to determine whether those are prudent costs or not. And that is the provision that ensures the accountability. And if the Public Service Commission determines they're not prudent, then they would not be able to recover those costs, i.e. that would be the clawback provision. That functions the same as a clawback provision.
Okay, you mentioned that the Office of Public Counsel to the Senator from Phelps, very good question about the ratepayers. When were they consulted? And our answer is that the Office of Public Counsel is supposed to protect them.
Right.
Supposed to. Whether they do or not, I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if ratepayers agree that they have deferred their authority to Office of Public Counsel. But I guess I'm just saying, you know, I'm supposed to vote on a bill. I have no idea whether it has a positive, negative effect, whether my ratepayers will be protected or not. So, I mean,
Senator,
if we want to vote, I mean, I'm happy to, I mean, I'm a no. I don't know what the other body does in the remaining
21 minutes.
You know, 17 minutes, but
clock's fast.
This is just not a, yeah. Well, I would just point out, we've been dealing with this issue for 3 years. The absolutely, totally wrong way to deal with a bill is to let all the utilities and all the special interests say, we have a deal. And I go back to the Senator from Phelps, very articulate point. Where were the ratepayers consulted? They're supposed to be protected by the Office of Public Counsel. We hope they are. I don't know if they are. I don't know if the ratepayers agree with that. That's supposed to be a protection for them, but I don't know if they are. Now, I'm sure that there's always going to be issues of whether maybe a set of ratepayers is against a rate increase or not. I hope the Office of Public Counsel protects those people, but I'm not sure that it does. I'm not faulting the sponsor. I'm not necessarily faulting yourself, except that we are here in the last hour of the session after this bill previous was up for almost an hour and a half under a different version that's not this version, that's a deal worked out. And I'm just saying this is just, are the special interests in the hallway so arrogant that they think that this is a 34-member House that is just supposed to sign off on whatever they agree to? And that's the real philosophical problem I have with it. So anybody who stands up and says this now, all of the special interests will say, they killed the bill. Well, right now I'm voting on a bill. I have no idea what the impact is on my ratepayers. I have no idea what the clawback provisions are. I have no idea what happens if they don't build the plant. I have no idea what happens with the $45 million. I'm sure the answers are in here, but in my thorough, almost 21-minute analysis of the bill, I have not been able to even complete reading the 46-page bill. So, I mean, I don't know if this is a... I feel very almost set up by the situation. I'm not necessarily referring to
sure,
you,
or
certainly the Senator from Cole, but these special interests who tee something up for this little 34-member House that we're supposed to pass something under orders from them that they've worked out in the last 2 hours is absolutely outrageous. Outrageous.
And
I don't mind the bill the night before. I don't mind that. But to sit here and say that we're supposed to pass this because the interests have come to an agreement, I don't know if it's a good agreement. I kind of agree with the Senator from Phelps. Are my ratepayers going to be impacted? By how much? Are the elderly going to be impacted by this? I don't know. So the special interest can sit out there and say, oh, well, he asked questions. How dare him do his job that he was elected to do and ask questions? I mean, that's where I'm at, Senator, with all candor. And by the way, you know, sometimes I agree with this. I understand that in dealing with issues that we have to sometimes adjust or deal with something that maybe another set of voters 3 decades ago passed. I'm open to having that discussion. What are we doing to Prop C? What are we doing to what the voters said? Do I agree with that? I don't always agree with what exactly was in the referendum from the discussion earlier today. So, Senator, I hope I haven't killed it by asking my almost 7 minutes of questions. But, you know, this is just amazing.
Well, Senator, and let me answer one of your questions. Is my understanding, and actually the Senator from Phelps, and you have raised a valid point about where were the rate payers. It is my understanding that the consumer groups, the consumer advocate groups, and specifically the former colleague of all of ours, former Senator Joan Bray, have signed off on this proposal. I'm not sure if that helps me or hurts me.
Senator, I don't know if that's good or bad. Maybe I often disagreed with Senator Bray.
That makes two of us.
I mean, sometimes she was wrong, totally. Sometimes she was right, totally. Back in 2005, when she was saying we were spending too much money on tax credits, and we were sitting here handing turning it into a $600 million tab a year, I think she was right. And now that's a conservative message I hear in the Senate. When I came here, it was a liberal message because we didn't have enough money for education and social welfare because of tax credits.
I understand.
Senator, I guess, you know, we can do we can say, oh, well, he killed the bill because he only left 14 minutes and a half to pass the bill. But I'll sit down and vote no because I have no idea what this is. And, oh, I'm going to look forward to if this 46-page mystery passes and I'm sure it'll be easy to correct it next year. Anything involving utility reform and nuclear power and water and what happens to people's gas and water and telephone bills, that's so easy to pass. That's almost a consent bill. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any of the senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire from Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He yields.
Senator, I almost got out of here. You know, I heard all session long, you just wait. It's going to happen. You know, the clock will be ticking, and suddenly it'll happen. Suddenly this will fall on your desk.
It fell.
I sat through the 8.5-hour meeting testimony. I love, actually, my favorite committee chairperson, Senator from Cape, by
really?
Far and away. Fantastic. He actually helped me fall in love with committee hearings. Because we sat there for 8.5 hours until every last person had a chance to speak. And I learned so much in that hearing. I learned how complicated this issue is. And I came out of there with a pretty good sense of where I was on this and what... Well, my sense centered around was the idea that this conversation that we're having about building this plant has nothing to do about building a plant. It has something to do with just keeping the ball rolling. And there's a lot of history behind this decision to keep the ball rolling. And what I learned is that back in 2009, the utility companies came down there and they had the real conversation. They said, you know what, we need to repeal QIP to finance this thing. That's a real conversation. And what was the answer they got? Well, the answer was they came back this year to try to do a little repeal QIP.
Madam President.
Senator from Andrew.
Considering the hour pending and the fact it's supposed to go to fiscal review and the clearly reasonable concerns raised by my colleagues, place the bill on the informal calendar.
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Seeing no announcements, Senator from the 5th.
Thank you. Madam President, just to speak on a brief point of personal privilege, it's been a long day.
The Senator from the 5th will be recognized on a point of personal privilege without objection.
Thank you, Madam President. I think I've done four of these in like the last 4 days. I don't think I've done four in my whole career here in the General Assembly, but I'd like to say these things. First of all, I've had a rather good legislative experience in this session, and I'd like to thank leadership. I'd like to thank my colleagues in both caucuses for their support of the things that I have brought before this body. I am grateful for your participation, for your discussion, for your even suggestions of how to do things. Thank you, first of all, let me say that to this room. The next person I'd like to thank is Ms. Brittany Howe. Ms. Brittany Howe is a new member of my team. She hit the floor running. She kept the office going. She rolled right into things, hired two very good interns, and turned out a very, very good support structure in room 328. And I'm grateful to her for a very successful year. And lastly, but that doesn't matter about it being last, I'd like to lift up my chief of staff, with or without a jacket, I might add, for his carrying my legislative agenda in both chambers. He was an excellent, excellent resource, and I have said to him many times he was worth his weight in gold, and now I'm up to platinum, but I might go back to gold because gold an ounce is quite high. And I'd like to thank Mr. John Bowman for the work that he did in the many bills that I had, including 48, that at one time included Callaway too. We did a lot of good work in this chamber, gentlemen. I made new relationships, I fostered new friendships, and I look forward to a next session next year. And I thank you all, and have a blessed travel home and a blessed interim until we meet again. Thank you.
Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To speak on a point of personal privilege.
That objection, Senator from Stoddard will be recognized on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam President. It is amazing how quickly time went by in this session. It seems like it was not that long ago that we were here that first week in January and Wednesday and opening up the session. And what a session it has been. It has been quite a ride for all of us, and I'm very proud of the Senate body. You have worked hard. You've worked diligently. You have taken up a lot of challenges during this session. Some of them we were able to get resolved, and some of them we weren't. But even the ones that we weren't able to resolve, I think we've moved the ball forward, just as we have with this nuclear energy bill. Though we didn't pass it, I believe that we are on the verge of accomplishing something very special, and it couldn't have been done without the hard work and the countless many of hours and efforts put in by a lot of you different senators. So thank you for that. But before I, and I've got a few more things to say, but I'd be amiss if we didn't, and we haven't done that this much this session, but our secretary, our employees up here, the employees all through this building have worked extremely hard for this Senate. They spent as many hours, probably many more hours, than we have at work in this body. And I think it's only appropriate for us to stand up at this time and offer our gratitude and thanks to them for all their hard work. So thank you, Madam Secretary, and your staff for all that you have done. You have been so helpful to me, and I probably wouldn't be standing here today without their help. That is a very sincere statement. You know, I've taken a lot of questions from a lot of people about this Senate body, about the fact that from time to time we talk quite a bit and talk and talk. And had an old legislator tell me one time that before I'd ever even come to the legislature that, you know, one thing you'll learn is that after all is said and done, there's a lot more said than ever done. But, you know, we've done a lot of things this session. We truly have. We've had our disagreements. But, you know, there's been a lot of proud moments this session, in my opinion. And each and every one of you have participated in that. The senator from the 8th, I know there's been times that he has worked hard. Senator from the 9th, we have worked hard on several issues. We a lot of times are a lot different in our thoughts and our opinions, but we sit down and work, and she truly is a statesman. Statesperson, and also the senator from the 11th, I want to thank you for all your hard work and your willingness to work with us as we go through a lot of challenges. And you know, I still want to say that we are a Senate body, and I didn't think a whole lot about that in my earlier years in the Senate and some of the traditions that we try to uphold. And I know the senator from Lawrence is always trying to make certain that we uphold these traditions. And these traditions is for the fact that we could create a decorum or an atmosphere here in this Senate where we can debate and carry on. And after we leave this floor, we still enjoy the camaraderie and the friendship of each other. You know, the senator from Cape Girardeau has been a great help, too. I know that a lot of times people become somewhat impatient with him, but he has played a big part in moving legislation through and working hard. And I should say that about each and every one of you. I know the senator from the 15th has just gone through a grueling last couple of weeks. And, you know, I don't think I've ever been prouder to be a part of this Senate body than when we passed through House Bill 116. Because when you think of all the different provisions that were in that bill and stuff that measures that we've talked about here for 3 and 4 years about tax credit reform, about economic development, and we were able that evening to come together and put together a very good piece of legislation. And though we're going to come upon 6 p.m. and we're not going to have that passed, you can't tell me that a lot of positive and constructive things happen with that piece of legislation. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to quit on that. And I think we have the opportunity to move that piece of legislation forward. Thank you for all that you have done. It's been an honor and a privilege to serve as the President Pro Tem of the Missouri Senate. What an honor. I thank each and every one of you. I consider you dear friends, and I hope and wish and pray nothing but the best for you as we leave this Capitol this session. Thank you.
Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, I'd like to speak on a point of personal privilege.
Without objection, you'll be recognized.
Thank you, Madam President.
Personal privilege.
I just want to thank, first of all, for this session, the tremendous and extraordinary staff of the entire Senate, particularly the Senate Secretary and her staff, who spend many hours, the people in legal research who do so much. I also, in particular, want to thank the Majority Caucus's staff. And I very much want to particularly thank the Minority Caucus's staff, Mr. Chris Schappe and Mr. Donthal Huber and Jordan Young, who are part of our staff. And we all know when any education bill comes up, sometimes there's only one person in this room that understands what's in that school foundation formula, and it's Mr. Donthal Huber. And I know that he, as I'm a minority leader, I've always extended to him to help any member of the majority or minority, because that's what he's there for. When I first came to the Senate in 2004, it was very partisan. There was a lot of personal acrimony, and I really didn't like it that much the first year, because people tended to just vote based on party and all that. I think we've come a long way in the last 4 years, 5 years in particular in this body. And I view you all as friends and colleagues. And I try to help my friends and colleagues, and they try to help me. And that's a much better Senate. And I want to particularly thank, and I know the President Pro Tem did, I want to thank him for his leadership. I want to very much thank the Majority Floor Leader. And I want to thank each and every one of my friends and colleagues in this room. And I think that there were very proud moments this session that we should be very proud of as we move forward. And I'll just tell you, and I've told some of the new members who came over from the House, You know, you might get frustrated from time to time about this senator filibustering that or this senator expressing their concerns, but look in economic development. There were three or four people in this Senate chamber who, if we had acted as a House and invoked the previous question and listened to all those special interests that are all out in the hallway blaming me and the senator from 24th and the senator from Phelps and anybody who asked a question about the nuclear power plant, they're all out there now, probably blaming us because we didn't pass the bill in 22 minutes, or some other thing, or whatever, if we had let them decide things, we would have invoked the previous question. But look at the work of the senator from Cape, the senator from Andrew, and all the others who have been so part, the senator from Howe, who have been so part of bringing reform for the taxpayers to economic development. Maybe they're sometimes right, maybe they're sometimes wrong. But if we had ended that debate, we would have never had it. If we had listened to those hallways, we would have PQ'd and had an economic development bill every year. Except we would have been bankrupt. Because we would have let the special interests, not the taxpayers, not the people we work for, decide what we do. Let the general welfare of the people be the supreme law. You're my friends and colleagues. You got one more year with me, so look forward to that. Anyway, I consider you all friends and colleagues. I'm happy January 1st or in December to work with the senator from Cole, senator from Nottoway, on their ideas on a nuclear power plant, and I hope we get to it. I'll be absolutely friendly and supportive. I want to thank all of you as my friends and colleagues. It's a privilege to serve with all of you. Thank you.
Senator from the 9th.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we all know in this chamber, I've had a very interesting year. I am very honored and privileged to be able to serve in the Missouri Senate. I want to thank each and every one of you, every one of my colleagues and those throughout the Capitol, including staff and others, who have been so generous, so helpful to me, so supportive of me as I've made my transition to the other side of the building. It will not soon be forgotten, and I am totally grateful for everyone who has tried to make my transition easier. I want to thank my staff, Sharon Fulson, Lenny Christian, in addition to my intern, who was an awesome intern this year, Jackie Wellman. Jackie happens to be from Southampton, England, who's a graduating senior from Missouri State University. She is a bona fide Olympian and a world-class swim athlete. Having have competed in the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece, she's been awesome in my office, and we will clearly miss her greatly. I want to say one last thank you to you, Mr. President, as well as our minority leader, the senator from the 11th, the senator from the 10th, and my good friend from the 5th. So with that, Mr. President, thank you so much to all of you for making my ride to the other side easier.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from St. Charles, 23rd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until Thursday, 8 a.m., May 26th, 2011.
You heard the motion from the Senator from St. Charles. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall be adjourned until 8 a.m. May 26th.